This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Isaiah 60? We are on this three-week series of teaching about Israel. I want to talk about Israel because Israel plays such an important role in the Church of Jesus Christ. And one of the major concern among the church is that, you know, I was just talking to someone. Unfortunately, the majority of the Church of Jesus Christ believe in replacement theory. That means basically they believe that the church, the Gentile church, we, has replaced even the role of the nation of Israel. I took pain to prove it to all of us, you know, last week that God has not written off Israel. In fact, God's zeal for Israel is great. Okay, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Today I want to talk about God's zeal for Israel and God's commitment for Israel. There are many passages of scripture that tell us that God has not written off the nation of Israel. More than just not written off the nation of Israel, He has great zeal. And we need to understand that. You see, the issue is not, many people say, why Israel? I'm not into this Israel thing. Good news for you. I'm not into this Israel thing too. I'm into what God loves, and I'm into what, if God hates whatever, I will hate. God loves whatever we love. And the issue about Israel is not an issue of favoritism. Israel is being chosen by God. It's not an issue because she's special. I always say that. Israel is special because God has chosen her. God did not choose Israel because she is special. That's what we need to understand. We need to see the very heart of God. That's why today I want to talk a lot about God's zeal. If God has such zealousness even for this group of people and this nation, we have to be the same. And especially important for the house of prayer, because I shared last week that one of the primary, if not the only, the primary mandate of the house of prayer is to pray for Israel and specifically the city of Jerusalem, because God has great plans, eternal plans for Jerusalem. So turn with me to Zechariah 8, verse 2 and 3. There are a few foundational passages in the Bible that reveals the zeal of Jesus when He comes back. First, for Jerusalem. One, of course, is Zechariah 8, verse 2 and 3. And I will run through. The main one is Isaiah 60, 61, 62. That not just reveal the future glory and destiny of Israel, actually tell us about the anointed one. One of his primary mission when he come back is to restore Israel to fullness. Because if Israel is not restored to fullness, the world will have no fullness of transformation. Everything begins there. I say, why Israel? It's called sovereign grace of God. Okay. Turn me to Zechariah 8. Let me just start off with Zechariah 8. Probably one of the foundational passages that reveals the zeal of Jesus for Jerusalem. And it reveals four expressions. Jesus expressed his zeal for Jerusalem. There are four things. Let me read Zechariah 8, verse 2. Obviously, he's referring to Jesus because he used the title, the Lord of Hosts. Okay, verse 2 says this. Let me read from verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of Hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of Hosts. Talking about Jesus. And you know, Zechariah 8 is in the context of second coming of Jesus. And he's declaring his great zeal, not just Israel, but specifically the city of Jerusalem. Okay, he said this in verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. In fact, Zion is a spiritual name of Jerusalem. Okay, I'm zealous for Zion. What a description. With great zeal. Jesus has great zeal for Jerusalem. And he continued by saying this. With great fervor, I am jealous for her. Then he described the four expressions of his zeal. Verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. The first one, he will return to Jerusalem. You know, the first place that Jesus will come back is Jerusalem. Yes, we know. We understand that there's a second coming is a procession. But his ultimate destiny is the city of Jerusalem. So that's the first expression. Second, he will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Not just that he's going to go there and take a look, but he's going to live there permanently. Third one, Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. I mean, at the moment right now, if you go to Jerusalem, it's far off. But this is what Jesus will do, is his commitment. This city will become the city of truth. And you read Isaiah 60, the city of righteousness. Of course, the fourth one, that's where Jerusalem will become the governmental center of Jesus here on earth. He's going to establish his United Nations headquarters at Jerusalem. That's his fourth expression. Say this, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. In especially the Old Testament, when you mention mountain, very often it's referring to the governmental center. So that this verse itself expressed the zeal of Jesus for Jerusalem. That's why we need to understand, because if God has zeal for her, we have to align our heart according to the heart of God so that we have zeal for Israel. If you know me long enough, I'm not into this Jewish thing, no. I eat pork chop and so on and so on. And for years, I have no desire to go to Israel or Jerusalem. Now I have, because I begin to realize that God cares for Jerusalem. He has zeal for Jerusalem. And more than that, he has eternal and end time purposes that is centered around Jerusalem. If you want to really understand end time, if you don't understand God's heart and plan for Israel and specifically Jerusalem, you will not understand for sure. Yes, Israel or Jerusalem is not the only plan, but play the huge part of Jesus' second coming. Write this down. Okay, I'm not going to turn to it. Zechariah chapter 12. 13 and 14. Zechariah chapter 12, 13 and 14. If you understand a little bit of end time, there will be a global conflict at the end of the age. It was centered around Jerusalem. That's why we mentioned many times, the final battle here on earth is called the Battle of Jerusalem, because it's about Jerusalem. Okay, that's a negative side. The positive side is the transformation of nations or the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So you are aware that I taught before that. Before Jesus returned, the Great Commission that is defined in Matthew 20, chapter 28, verse 18 to 19, will not be fulfilled. But it will begin with Israel. That's Isaiah 61, verse 11. We're going to talk about it. When Jesus comes back, Israel will be the first nation. In fact, Jerusalem will be the first city. The whole entire population, 100%, will be converted. And more than that, not just converted, they will be the first nation that will be fully discipled. God will raise them up as the protocol, or rather a prototype, of what it means to be a godly nation. And you train Habakkuk 2:14. Later we're going to run to Isaiah 60. I mean, you want to go to Jerusalem now, then you want to go there. The glory of God will rest on Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, the glory will spread. Our understanding is, you know, we always have this idea that when Jesus comes back, at the snap of a finger, the whole world will be transformed. No, the Bible teaches that it will be progressive. In fact, the Jewish people will be the main priests, where they'll go to every corner of the earth to teach nations about the way of God, as well as to cause the glory of God to spread from Jerusalem. That's why we need to understand. Okay, I'll show it to you later. Okay, because I'm going to run through verse by verse. Isaiah 60, 61, 62. That's why God wants us, no, or rather we need to have understanding about Israel as the Gentile church, so that we know how to stand in the gap for her, and how to provoke her to jealousy. Turn with me to another verse, Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. God wants us to understand, more than understand, He wants us to stand in the gap for Israel. Isaiah 66, verse 10. Isaiah 66, verse 10. Isaiah 66, verse 10 talk about this. Rejoice with Jerusalem. It's a command of God to exhort us to rejoice with Jerusalem. The word rejoice in this concept basically is you agree with God's plan. You don't get envy. You say, how come Jerusalem? They're not Singapore or Shanghai. No, it's God's plan. And God said, rejoice with Jerusalem, because He wants us to agree, and more than agree, standing with a prophetic destiny by praying for her. The verse also says something further. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. You know what mourn means? That means it's calling us to intercede, to pray for God's help and mercy. Because before all this thing is over, there will be great persecution, oppressions, attack on this group of people. That's why we need to learn to mourn for her, standing in the gap. And that's one of the primary reasons why God is raising up 24/7 house of prayer. We will give God no rest. That's what God said. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop doing until Jerusalem become the praise of the earth. Obviously, now she is far off. Okay, so that is one of the primary call for the church, and we need to understand. Turn with me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Can we just run through Isaiah 60, 61, 62? Because we need to know Isaiah 60, 61, 62 if we want to understand the prophetic destiny of Israel. She has not arrived her fullness yet. She will eventually. But more than that, it shows us the zeal and commitment of God for Israel. Okay, Isaiah 60, 61, 62 probably is the clearest and the most fundamental passages of Scripture concerning Jerusalem, because it's talking about Jerusalem. More than just the nation of Israel, but specifically on the city Jerusalem, which is designated as the governmental center of Jesus, where He's going to set up His throne. Okay, powerful three chapters. Actually, you need to read 4. 60, 61, 62, 63. Most of us skip 63 because 63 is where Jesus comes back as a warrior king, where He will crush nation and judge nation. But today, I'm going to just cover 3 because we are very familiar. Isaiah 63, verse 1 to 6. Isaiah 60, 61, 62. Give us the most detailed prophetic description about the glory and destiny of this city, Jerusalem. Let me just give you some outline, okay? Chapter 60. Chapter 60. Chapter 60 give us a peek of the future glory and destiny of Jerusalem. Okay? If you study carefully, Israel will be restored to the fullness of the glory that God promised her. Far surpass all that we have seen in the Old Testament, whether it's Mount Sinai or when Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 6. She will be restored to the glory. There will be so much glory in Jerusalem, nations want to flee there to take a look. It will be visible and will be intense. Okay, but more than just describing about she'll be restored to her glory, like what I said last week, she'll be given back her commission, which is to be the leader among nations, to lead nations to become a godly nation. She will be one. Okay, so that's Isaiah 60. Isaiah 61, another famous chapter. We are all very familiar, probably. But it's more than just about preaching the gospel. Isaiah 61 actually introduces the anointed one. His name is Jesus. He will be the one that will restore Jerusalem and cause the transformation of the whole world, causing glory to fill on earth. Okay. This is not going to happen before Jesus comes back, because he will be one to make it happen. So that's Isaiah 61, where the chapter introduced the Messiah of Jerusalem. You know, I was just talking to someone, and this person is kind of funny. He said, you know, when you read Isaiah 61, verse 1, basically talk about the holy and the anointed one. Okay, it's the same word that you use as Messiah, or the one that is filled of the Spirit. In the Greek, we call it Jesus Christ. Okay, I used to have a friend, he thought that Christ is Jesus' last name. Okay, never mind if you don't get it. No, Christ basically is mean Messiah in Greek. Okay, it's not David Chan or Joel Cole and so on. No, Jesus Christ, that means he is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, okay? So it's not the last name of Jesus, okay? Then there's a middle name. What's a middle name? Jesus Emmanuel Christ. No, never mind, okay? That's Isaiah 61, okay? Isaiah introduces the anointed one that will redeem Israel, restore glory to Jerusalem. And of course, the last one, glory will spread forth. Not just Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a starting point, but it is spread all over the whole earth. Okay. Third chapter, Isaiah 62. Reveal the passion and the zeal of God for Jerusalem. I mean, this is a unique, powerful chapter. In one short chapter, Isaiah 62, three times God said, I will. Later I'll show you Isaiah 60. Is even more amazing. In one chapter, 50 times God mentioned, I shall, I will. That means he's determined. And he's very certain that all the promises of Israel will come to pass. So that's God's resolve, okay? Isaiah 62 revealed the passion and zeal of God for Jerusalem. He will be relentless until all that is promised in Isaiah 60, 61, 62 come to pass. No one can resist him. We need to understand this so that we stand aligned with the heart of God. And even when we pray according to his word. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 60. I'm going to start from Isaiah 60. Okay. I know for some of you who are familiar with Isaiah 60, 61, 62, so, you have been using these three chapters to teach about end time, about what happened to the Gentile nation. True, because you need to understand there's a biblical principle about Israel. Everything that God promised Israel, to a lesser degree, to a certain extent, God will do in part. Israel will have the fullness, but the Gentile church will have a partial fullness in this age, but not the fullness that is promised through Isaiah 60, 61, 62, until Jerusalem first come to fullness first. Okay. So when you study Isaiah 60, 61, it can apply to us, because how God deal with Israel, God will do in part for nations. So in principle, we can claim all the promises, but it's like, theologically, they call it, like kind, but lesser degree. That means it will be the same. We can claim in principle, but we cannot claim the fullness, because fullness is promised first to Israel first. Then through Israel, fullness will flow out. Somehow God just chose Israel as the vessel where the glory of God will spread through all nations. Understand that? That's why you read Isaiah 60, 61, 62, the strictest of the strictest context is applied to Israel. But we can claim, because we are the wild olive branch that is grafted into the tree. We share the same root. But If you study carefully, the Gentile church has not replaced Israel just for a season. So turn with me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 is a powerful prophecy. It's so important, especially for us if we are called to be the voice to know. Okay, I explained to you a little bit. Let me just give you some understanding about Isaiah 60. Okay? It's a powerful prophecy that describes the future glory. The word is future. It will come to pass. Okay? It's a powerful prophecy that describes the future glory and destiny of Jerusalem. This will only happen, okay, after Jesus' return, second coming. That's where a lot of times we got it wrong, is because when we interpret promises of Israel in the Bible, we thought that you'll be in this age. It will not. The fullness that God promised Israel will only come to pass when Jesus returned the second time. That's what Isaiah 61 is about. Isaiah 61 is introducing that man that's going to bring a total transformation and turning Israel back to God. More than that, she will be the first holy nation, the very prototype of nations that God desire. Okay, so this is what it is about. Okay, describe the future glory and destiny of Jerusalem. It will happen only at the time of Jesus' return. And the glory, listen to this one, the glory of God will be visible and will be resting at the entire city of Jerusalem forever. We know about the Mount Sinai experience. You know, Exodus 19. Used to stay in Mount Sinai. It's called Mount Sinai Road. Okay. That's why last time they used to call me Moses. I said, what an old name. No? Now I like Moses. No? If I only have the same experience of Moses. No, I mean, come back to that. Yes, Moses saw the glory of God came down like a fire that rested on Mount Sinai. What Jerusalem going to receive is going to far surpass it. Entire city will be filled with the glory of God. More than that, is visible. That's why if you read Isaiah 60 later, nations, governmental leaders, kings all want to go to Jerusalem to take a look at the glory of God that rested upon the city. Okay. Far surpass, you know, 2 Chronicles 6. What's the guy's name? Oh, King Solomon. What's the guy's name? Where he dedicated the temple. If you remember the last few verses, the glory of God came down like a cloud. It was so intense, the musician couldn't do anything. I love this kind of worship service, man. I only attended one time. You will not argue about whether the music is good or whatever. You have no time. You'll be eating dust. Okay, Joel's favorite song, another one, Bite the Dust by Queen. Because you know why? When the glory of God come down in fullness, you only have one position. It's called prostrate. You have no time to stand. I remember it's kind of funny because at the end of that meeting, then someone came to me and said, Kee Chong, you should just stand up there and give an invitation. People will respond. I say, you don't know what you're talking about. The glory of God is here. I just stand up there and say anything I want. Next moment, you'll be attending my funeral. Okay? No, I'm giving this example because what God promised Jerusalem in the future will far surpass what we are seeing in the Old Testament. Even now, you know, now if you go to some places, they call it transformed city. There are some places you can literally see the glory of God. I was talking to a good friend. He said that there's this house that's really house of prayer in Uganda. If you walk into the house, you see smoke spiral. It's the glory of God. So every time people want to get in, they hesitate. They are thinking, should I go in or not? Because there is the fear of the Lord. Because they are afraid as you go in, the glory of God will strike them dead as you think of something funny. Yeah, angry bird. No, I'm just kidding. You can play Angry Bird. Okay. So, Isaiah 60 describes the future glory and destiny. I'm going to run through verse by verse. You're going to like it. Okay. I thank God, you know, we can receive some of it partially in this age. And if you study Isaiah 60, It described more than just the spirit of revival, you know, holy laughter. Then holy laughter is downgrade until don't know what level. You are not talking about holy laughter. You are talking about entire city transformed and having the visible glory of God that is tangible and you can see. If you, again, some of you are familiar with this city that, or rather a town, they ask you to take a look at the clip, Almalonga. Remember Almalonga? It's called the City of God. Everything is transformed. 90% of the whole entire town gets saved. At best, it's only a weak and a pale picture. It just multiplied by 100-fold, 1,000-fold. That's what Isaiah 60 is talking about. Unbelievable. Israel will be the first nation on earth 100% converted. She will be the first nation on earth fully discipled. She will be the first nation on earth totally transformed. Now, I'm not talking about revival. There's a huge difference between revival and transformation. Transformation, that means the whole place is changed by the glory of God. I know I always share this. In Almalonga, Kara is usually how big? Kara is this size, right? In Almalonga, because God visited the place, not just visited the place, dwell there, the Kara is as long as your arm. No, what do you call? From your shoulder all the way under your hand. This is amazing. 2 feet long. That thick. I've been there before. It's incredible. And that town have no crime. The prison all closed down. So we happened to talk to some kids. They have no greed. What is crime? Because the whole town is being transformed. That gives us a powerful, pale, and weak picture of what is going to happen in Isaiah 60. Specifically, is about city of Jerusalem. Okay, more than just transformation. It will be permanent. You know, right now, if you study church history, no revival, no transformation lasts forever. If you are a student of revival, I challenge you to go and read. It's exciting. No revival in the history of the church lasts more than 5 to 6 years. It's true. But this will be permanent. It will be. More than just permanent, it will definitely happen. Okay? It will. That's why, to emphasize the certainty that this will happen, it's interesting that Isaiah, go and count, okay, I may count wrongly, go and count. Isaiah uses 2 words 50 times. God shall make this happen. God will make this happen. 50 times. 38 times shall. 12 times will. For sure, this is going to come to pass. I mean, that's where I pray with excitement because it's not just theory. One day, I booked my ticket already. When this happened, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, stay there for a while, you know, take a look, soaking meeting. This is another level of soaking meeting. You're soaking in the glory of God. And hopefully, when I come back, my face will radiate, radiance and shine even better than Moses of old. Okay, then everybody, Kichong, can you put a few curtains in front of your face? We just can't glare your eyes. This is what is happening. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. No, I'm not talking theory. This is a reality that's going to come to pass one day in the future. And I believe it's nearer than we think. I believe that we are living in if I'm not the last generation, our children will be the last generation. And this is near. We are nearer than we think. And we can pray with hope that we may just see this happen in our lifetime. I tell you, this is better than going to Disneyland or Universal Studio. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 60, 61, 62 is especially an important passage of Scripture for us who are called to be the forerunners. You know why? As a forerunner, one of your mandate is to comfort Israel. Because I say again, before this whole thing is over, Israel is going to face another Holocaust. Far worse than World War II. How do we comfort Jerusalem? We tell, don't worry, just a short while, everything will be over. I mean, yeah, think about it, you know, yeah, in gas chamber and so on, you say, how short, no? But you use this to encourage them, to comfort them, telling them that all the persecution, all the oppressions, you'll be over in a while. God will redeem you. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. If you know Isaiah 40, the whole chapter is primarily about God raising up a forerunner. Verse 1 to 5 is the mandate of forerunners. We are familiar that mandate of forerunners is to prepare the church for the second coming of Jesus. But there's something more. First two verses is about comforting Israel in times of persecution prior to the second coming of Jesus. Then from verse 6 all the way to verse 27 is the message that a forerunner has to preach. And verse 28 all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 21, is how a forerunner should prepare ourselves. You know, we often quote this, those who wait upon the Lord will run and not grow weary, will walk and not be faint. It's the principle given to those who are called to be the forerunner. One of the ways to prepare yourself is to wait. That's why if you study Luke 3, John the Baptist came out of wilderness because the word of the Lord came to him. How did he receive the word of the Lord? Wait. No, wait means not so boa, no. I understand it. Wait, let me do nothing. No, it's an active waiting. Okay. But chapter 40 is primarily about forerunners. Let me just read the first two verses because it's important for us to understand Isaiah 60, 61, 62. Because there will come a time we have to comfort Jerusalem. Not mere words of human, but God's heart and plan. That's why verse 1 says this, which is speaking to forerunners. That's why we will come back again. This one is just a brief 3 weeks teaching about Israel. We're going to go an extensive one because as a house, you have to pray for Israel. You know, we often quote this verse, Psalms 122, verse 6. Those who love and pray for Israel shall prosper. You know, prosper in the context of what? Not that you pray for Israel, hopefully you'll be a CEO, no, drive a Mercedes. No. It's in the context of Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. If you stand in the gap for Israel, God will provide resources, money, manpower to keep the furnace going. If you remember last year, we collect offering. You know, I look back, I say, wow. Last year, we collected an offering for Israel. And God replied by sending us $120,000. I said, wow, let's pray more for Israel. No, not because of money. It's because of God's heart. Okay. Verse 1, Isaiah 40. We're going to turn back to Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Comfort. Yes. Comfort my people, says your God. This command of the Lord for us to comfort Israel because they are going to go through warfare. They are going to go through oppression. They are going to go through persecution. Okay. Verse 2. Speak comfort specifically to Jerusalem. That means comfort, encourage them. Cry out to her. That means pray for her. That this is a message to her. That her warfare, that means her oppression, opposition is about to be over. The warfare is about to end. That her iniquity is pardoned. Jesus is going to come back as the bridegroom. What Isaiah 62 said, more than just he will redeem Jerusalem. He's going to call her Hephzibah. Beulah, I like you. I will marry you. So this is why we need to understand Isaiah 60, 61, 62, especially your forerunner, because you've got to use that to comfort Israel.
Turn back to Isaiah 16. I'm going to run through line by line quickly, okay, because I have no time. So I'm actually not feeling well today, so I'm going to just run through briefly. Isaiah 60, important chapter. Okay, I say earlier, Isaiah 60 is a prophetic description of Israel's destiny and future glory. Verse 1. What a powerful call. Again, please understand this. The whole context is at the end of the Great Tribulation after Jesus returned. Verse 1 is a powerful call of God to the Jewish people who stay along Jerusalem. He said, it's time for you to arise and shine because the glory of God has come upon Jerusalem. It's time for you to bring God's glory to the nations. Let me just read verse 1. Arise, shine. No, this is specifically to the Jewish people in Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Wow. You know, it's interesting, if you read Isaiah 60, all the way to the end of Isaiah 62, it begins with a verse that called the Jewish people to action. It ends with the verse that also called the Jewish people to action. You know what's action? To bring forth the glory of God to nations. Because it starts with Jerusalem. Verse 2. This happened just after Great Tribulation. You understand Great Tribulation, there'll be a great conflict, war. Darkness will be at the highest, whether it's a physical darkness, moral darkness, or sin. That's why there's darkness. But what Jesus is asking the Jewish people is that now you have the glory. Go forth and shine. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. I want to say I love this verse, but what a powerful verse. Deep darkness over nations. It's just after. Deep darkness over nations. Listen to what the Lord said. But the Lord arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. It will be visible. Not just visible. It will be permanent. You will dwell there. And because of the glory, the king and governmental leader will come. Okay, that's verse 3. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Because the glory of God rests upon Jerusalem, they went. And also, Israel is called to go as well. Okay, verse 4 to 7. Isaiah actually gives a powerful prophetic word. He's prophesying about the future event. He's telling, oh, Jewish people, take note of this coming event. You're going to like it. Let me tell you what it is. Verse 4. These are all the things that will literally take place when Jesus comes back. Again, read the whole chapter carefully. Isaiah used the word shall and will happen 50 times altogether. No shadow of a doubt, with certainty, this will happen. Listen to verse 4. Verse 4, which is partially happening right now, but the fullness will come when Jesus returns, where Jewish people from all nations will return to Jerusalem. Verse 4. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gathered, talking about the sons of Israel, Israelites and so on. They are coming back. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gathered together. They come to you. He's referring to the city of Jerusalem. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughter shall be nursed at your sight. They all will return. to Jerusalem. And verse 5 to verse 7 is amazing because Israel used to be opposed or oppressed. But verse 5 to 7, nations not just come, they bring their well to Jerusalem. They come by air, they come by sea, come by whatever way. They're just bringing the money to Jerusalem to honor Israel, to rebuild Israel, to fund the building of the temple, as well as funding the return of the Jewish people. I think the Jewish word is called, what's the word called here? Aliyah, yeah. It's happening right now. There are many ministries called by God to bring many Jewish people back, specifically from Russia and Ukraine. Okay, there are about 18 million Jews around the world. Only 6 million right now reside in the nation of Israel. But this is going to happen. Okay, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5, talk about nations will bring their wealth to Jerusalem. It's an amazing thing too when you read verse 5, 6 and 7. Not just nation that used to be friendly like Singapore, but the surrounding Arab nations. Nations that is around Saudi Arabia. They were channel fund. Like every day they go to TT. No, this one is not just wired. They literally go there and give the wealth. I mean, the money keep coming. So many people are in the queue. They cannot afford to close down the city because if they close out just a few hours, there will be a huge bottleneck. They say, don't close the city. Don't close the city so that we can keep giving our money. So that's what is happening. Okay, verse 5. Verse 5. Again, I'm not telling grandfather's story. This is a prophetic word of God that is going to come to pass. And as a house of prayer, we have to pray through Isaiah 60, 61, 62. Verse 5. Then you shall see, become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy. Because you know why they are so joyful? It has never happened before. It has never happened before. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to Gentile nation will bring money to build Jerusalem. Then eventually, Israel. Verse 6, talking about nations around surrounding Jerusalem and Israel, primarily are the Arab nations. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. They keep coming. They keep coming. Now we are seeing a little bit right now because many believers go to Israel. They just realize about that. God's heart for it, specifically Jerusalem. They go there to celebrate, to pray or whatever. But this is talking about after Jesus returned, nations will go. Okay. Verse 6. Multitudes of camels shall cover your land. This is another kind of camel. Okay, I don't know which one is one hum, which one is two hum, but it's also a camel. Okay, the dromedaries of Media and Ephite, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the. They will come more than just honoring Israel. They will honor Jesus. Verse 7, all the flocks of Kedah, okay, Kedah are referring to around Saudi Arabia, the modern Saudi Arabia. If you look at the map of Saudi Arabia is huge, okay. When you talk about Kedah, that means talking about nation, I mean the area that covered by Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and so on. All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebuah shall minister. That means they will honor Israel. Okay. They shall ascend with acceptance of my altar, and I will glorify the house of my God. They will come, honor Israel, and more than honoring Israel, they will minister to Jesus. I tell you, this prophecy is so detailed. You know why? You know what verse 8 and 9 describe? Or rather, verse 8 and 9 describe. Verse 8 and 9 actually describe how they will come and why they come. They come by air. They come by sea. Listen to verse 8. Who are these who fly like a cloud? I tell you, Isaiah must be thinking, how come can fly one? And God kind of, you won't know where technology is going to head to. You know, there will be aeroplane. They will come fast. Okay. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roads? Surely the coastland shall wait for me. That means they'll come by the sea, by the ship. Okay. And the ship of Tarshish will come first to bring your son. I mean, one of the purposes is that they're going to bring the Jewish people all over the world to return even to Israel. To bring your sons from afar, and more than that, they are delivering their wealth and to glorify Jesus. To bring your sons from afar, their silvers and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you.